The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Big Monday edition. Welcome to it. Dom, you've been working an hour already. That must feel strenuous. You should take tomorrow off.
All the time. Good to be with you, Crudy Rich, on the board. Yes, don't forget, folks, I'm joining now at 3 o'clock Central, so get an extra hour with Dominic. Make sure you tune in and join us for the political party.
Well, if we don't play out on your local affiliate, you got to find us at the WMDX 92.7 stream or at DARNWI.com, Devil's Advocates Radio Network, Wisconsin.com, DARNWI.com. Streams there as well, Dom. And apparently we just turned on the Facebook, the live streaming. We did that, right, Rich? Rich screening your calls and turning on the Facebook live streaming for, you know, those that watch. Dom, I wish the Trump trial was televised. I just heard, but cannot independently verify, that Trump fell asleep in court again today.
Yes, that's being reported in multiple sources. About an hour into the trial, apparently. I guess that's what happens when you stay up rage tweeting all night long, man. Get some sleep, old man.
Well, at least he's got a hobby, Dom.
Everyone's got to have one.
Now, we wondered if this day would ever come to culmination. First, the selection of the jury 4 days last week. Wednesday off, apparently. And then today, Dom, opening statements, and they were quite different. The Todd Blanche, the attorney for Trump, tried to humanize his client. Well, he's just a man, a husband, a father, like I am.
Oh, I'm confused.
I don't know that that was specifically their defense today, Dom, but, you know, trying to make him a man. I hear it was a little more rambling, the opening statement for the defense. But the prosecution, Dom, they kind of laid it out, and then they called their first witness, the unfortunately named David Pecker. It's a Big Pecker Monday edition, Dom.
Congratulations. Thanks for tuning in.
So we didn't get to see what was happening inside the courtroom, but my understanding, the tone of Donald Trump changed immediately when Pecker took the stand. David Pecker, the CEO of AMI, that is the mother corporation that owns the National Enquirer, Dom, and the aforementioned, unfortunately named Pecker, had to go through a number of phone numbers and confirm at least the last four digits. Yes, that's one of mine, and apparently screwed one up and then eventually got it right. Kind of a moment of levity in the trial this morning. But what they were really doing was locking down the phone records, Dom.
Right.
They were confirming that when there was communication to this phone number, well, that was David Pecker receiving that call. That's part of laying the evidence out. And I suspect we'll see more and more evidence. But started today with the David Pecker. And my understanding is Pecker essentially said, you know, the staff, they could work on stories up to 10 grand. They could investigate. They could expend up to 10 grand.
To buy a story for publication. But above and beyond that, they needed Pecker's approval.
And he also wanted to be informed when there was celebrities involved. And my understanding is, Dom, from what I'm reading in the reporting, in August of 2015, this is well before Trump became the president, right? So precedes his presidency. There was a Trump Tower meeting with the aforementioned David Pecker. And Michael Cohen was in attendance, and Donald Trump was there.
Yeah.
And they kind of put a scheme together. And the scheme was David Pecker was going to catch and kill any bad stories, because this was not the only bad story. And in fact, it was the story of Karen McDougal, the playmate that Trump allegedly had a multi-year affair with, that first came to the attention of David Pecker, and he caught and killed it. He paid this woman, apparently, for her story, and then made sure it never came to publication. There was also a $30,000 payoff. This information apparently erroneous, but the doorman at Trump's, one of Trump's many properties, I think Trump's doorman, though, was claiming Trump had fathered a child out of wedlock, and they paid that person $30,000. And then and only then did it come to light that after or about the time frame of the Access Hollywood tape, that Stormy Daniels was shopping her story around. And the Access Hollywood tape, now they weren't able to play the tape, Dom. I'm not sure that we can with FCC guidelines. Maybe we'll look and see what's in the archive. But they did transcribe what Trump bragged about, tic-tacking up, grabbing women. They did read from the transcription of the Access Hollywood tape this morning as part of the early evidence being presented in court.
Warming up the crowd.
The first former president ever. The criminal trial has begun. It began today. And David Pecker, I guess they told Trump's defense team about 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And here's our first witness. Because any sooner than that, they were afraid that Trump would go out and basically attack that person on the social medias.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he found out at like 3 o'clock yesterday. And there was some evidentiary stuff that happened this morning that Trump's team claimed, well, if we'd have known who you were bringing, we'd have been prepared, but we didn't know. Feel bad for him, don't you?
Yeah, working well, maybe weekend. Well, your client, then we wouldn't have to be in the situation. And I think this is, again, I think very important. The catch and kill, it's not just a one-time deal. It was McDougal. It was the doorman. And it was, to my understanding, and I haven't seen it specifically articulated in the reporting today, the negotiation with Stormy Daniels was going on, kind of. They came to terms, but never executed the deal.
Never consummated, Dom?
Never consummated the deal, although they apparently did consummate the relationship. But once the Hollywood Access tape dropped, then it became very important to get that deal done with Stormy Daniels. So, you know, it's not a one and done. It's a trend of catch and kill. And it goes to show you that once the Access Hollywood tape was released, well, that became more of a priority because, of course, this is an election interference case. As much as anything, as much as a business fraud case, why did the business fraud occur? Because they wanted to cover up the election interference. Now, this, with regards to David Pecker and the kill, my understanding that they did not falsify their books like Donald Trump did. So that was not an illegal charge for them to buy McDougal's story, for example. But when Trump did it and tried to hide, I mean, how are we going to do it? Hey, I got a great idea. We got to keep this off book. We got to do a workaround. Well, yeah, you have your fixer do it and you reimburse them and you stick it in under legal expenses. I mean, that's what you do. That's what I would have done. That's the logical criminal kind of thing to do. And that's what they did.
A couple of thoughts to that. First and foremost, I listened to the Michael Cohen tape because Cohen actually said, we need to create a business entity to deal with our friend David because there were ongoing payments that had to be reimbursed. Again, this wasn't a one-time only.
Right.
And Trump said, well, we'll just pay cash. And Cohen said, no, 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 no. That's not how you do it. You can't start a corporation with cash. Apparently, they wanted to create a shell corporation to create something. Now, Trump, outside of court today, pointed out, although they claimed these were legal expenses to Michael Cohen, right? That's their plausible deniability. This is the best Trump has. Oh, I wanted to keep Melania out of it. And this is their defense, effectively. And I was just paying for legal work to Michael Cohen. Trump came outside of court today and said, and we never deducted it on my taxes. Well, to my way of thinking, Don, that's not exonerating behavior by the former president. That shows more motivation. I mean, this is a spendthrift as described by his own attorney today. This is a frugal man, businessman. Doesn't spend any money he doesn't have to. How could he possibly be construed as paying a porn star $130,000 by overpaying his attorney? And, you know, none of this is a crime and blah, blah, blah. That was Todd Blanche's opening statement today. But when Trump came out and said, effectively, we chose not to take a tax deduction of the fees, the legal fees we paid to Michael Cohen, I said to myself, that sounds a lot like a confession. That sounds a lot like you had state of mind that you realized if you try to put it on your books, you're opening yourself up to audit or scrutiny.
But again, this is Donald Trump we're talking about. And I appreciate what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I would concur. It seems to show a state of mind. But depending on how he framed his statement, I didn't put it on my books. What, on Donald Trump personal tax income books or Trump Organization LLC number 1, 2, 3, or 400, their books? That I highly doubt that they would form this additional LLC, fund it, put expenses to it, and not write it off. I highly doubt that, knowing Donald Trump.
Well, his statement, again, he came out of court. He ran to the cameras. He ran to the microphones. And he claimed that they hadn't taken a deduction. And I said to myself, the only reason you didn't take a deduction is because you knew it would be criminal and you're more likely to get caught. He slept a little in court, though. My understanding, he caught up on his sleep. You know, I bet he's having trouble sleeping at night, Trump, right now. Just the pending criminal trial, first time ever a former president goes to trial. Now he's got to sit there and kind of play nice. Nap a little, you know, but only when necessary. You never nap on us. My wife tells me if I want to go to sleep on, I put in the podcast of the Devil's Advocates radio show. What? I said, just when Dom's on, right?
Yes.
Come back. We'll keep you awake. We'll wake you up. We'll shake you up. We've got the details from the opening day of the trial of the century. Donald Trump goes to trial and then goes outside the courthouse. And I say, makes a confession. Mark my words, this will play out. Come back. More Devils. Phone lines open. 844-96-PARTY.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge!
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines this historic day, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, someone on the text line, WMDX, says, Crudy, you're right about not reporting it on the taxes. I heard another reporter say that he even reported his son's $5 Cub Scouts dues on his taxes. But here's what he said today. Outside of trial, here's what Trump said. This caught my attention. Former President Donald Trump went on an angry tirade outside of the Manhattan courthouse on Monday. And some observers, perhaps Crudy, thinks he did himself no favors when trying to talk about the facts of his hush money trial. I'm sure the attorneys always appreciate when their client goes running to the cameras and then makes a confession. That sounds like this, Dom. After the conclusion of the first day of testimony at the trial, Trump went outside the courtroom to declare the case being brought against him had to do with bookkeeping, which he described as a very minor thing in terms of the law. Trump then tried to pin the blame on his former attorney, Michael Cohen, who went to jail for making an illegal campaign contribution to Trump in the form of the hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential election. Here's what Trump said today outside of court, Dom. Listen closely. Listen to the words. I quote exactly as it's written here. This is a case where you pay a lawyer. It's a lawyer, and they call it a legal expense. That's the exact same term they use, legal expense, in the books, said Trump. And another thing that wasn't even said was, we never even deducted it as a tax deduction. Most people want to deduct everything. Now, why would you not deduct a substantial legal defense from your taxes? If you're paying a lawyer legal fees of $130,000, let's call it $420,000, Dom, I don't care how freaking rich you are, that's a deduction I'm taking. That is a legitimate business expense if it's a, it's a legitimate business expense. Right. So why didn't he do it, Dom? Here is what's being written, especially on the, you know, the Truthy Social, or pardon me, Twitter. Most people don't run to the Truthy Social, apparently. The fact that they never took it as a tax deduction is telling, not exculpatory, argued former FBI Special Agent Asha Rangappa. This guy deducted his son's $5 Boy Scout dues as a charitable donation. More evidence of trying not to leave a paper trail. George Porter, a professor of computer science at the University of California, San Diego, similarly didn't think much of Trump's attempts to shift the blame onto Cohen. My lawyer told me it's okay is generally good advice, but in this case, his lawyer went to prison for about a year for participating in this exact scheme, which definitely undercuts the rationale somewhat. Yeah, if the lawyer goes to prison for the deal that he told you to take, you might be in trouble. That might not be the defense I'd be telling the people outside the courthouse. And the fact that he did not take it on his taxes, Dom, that's the most telling of all.
I get that. I get it. And if I have a hard time believing anything the man says, for real. I mean, and I get that. So again, I think given what he said, is he talking about himself personally? Is he talking about the Trump Organization? He has multiple LLCs. I'm not clear. Maybe one of them didn't. Maybe one did. I don't know. I would take every single thing from that guy with a huge grain of salt. That being said, certainly it goes shows the motivation, man. Why would you not take the $400,000+ deduction? It reduces your taxable income. It's legitimate and righteous. Take it, if that would be the case.
I know the devil advocates always take our legal fees as legitimate business write-offs. Dom, coverage from the Washington Post. Donald Trump oversaw a planned, this is a quote from the prosecutor in court this morning, opening statements. Donald Trump oversaw a planned, coordinated, long-running conspiracy to influence the 2016 election, which included hush money payments to an adult film actress, prosecutors told the jury Monday in the opening salvo of the first criminal trial of a former U.S. president. The prosecutor that did the speaking, Assistant Attorney General Matthew Colangelo, it was election fraud, pure and simple. That's how he started the day. He told the jury inside a packed and heavily guarded courtroom, illustrating the sky-high stakes of the criminal trial in which the defendant is also the presumptive GOP nominee for the president in November's election. That seems so contrary to say, Dom, so oxymoronic, but, you know, you pick yours, we'll take Joe. Anyways, in the hallway outside the courtroom, Trump denounced the case and other legal battles he's fighting with his usual bluster and vitriol against the system that he claims is targeting him unfairly for political reasons. I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now, Trump said. Now, Colangelo spent about 40 minutes Monday morning describing the evidence that he said would show Trump broke the law. The prosecutor's delivery was calm and measured throughout, never raising his voice and keeping his hands in his suit pockets for much of the time he spoke. Must be one of those guys that know what to do with his hands, Dom. I like to gesticulate wildly while I give testimony or
speak. Very distracting publicly. To a jury who's trying to pay attention to the words you're saying, though.
Mike. Not when I do it.
Yes, especially when you do it.
Trump's crimes, the prosecutor said, arose out of his secret election year deal with the National Enquirer to squelch bad stories about his sex life. A conspiracy launched in a meeting between Trump, the tabloids, then CEO, the unfortunately named David Pecker, and Michael Cohen, Trump's then lawyer and fixer. and the pact ultimately led Cohen to arrange a $130,000 payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to keep her from going public about an alleged sexual encounter she had with Trump years earlier. And Cohen is expected to testify that Trump purposefully misrepresented reimbursements to Cohen to conceal what the money was for. Cohen's testimony will be damning and convincing, Colangelo said. I suspect the defense will go to great lengths to get you to reject his testimony precisely because it is so damning. Colangelo said, though he acknowledged that Cohen has made mistakes. That's like saying Dom has made mistakes.
Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanch, countered when it was his turn to address the panel that the prosecutor's case would collapse because it was built on Cohen's lies. A quote from Blanch: unbeknownst to President Trump in all the years that Mr. Cohen worked for him, Mr. Cohen was also a criminal. He cheated on his taxes. He lied to banks. He lied about side businesses. Well, it sounds like someone Donald Trump would absolutely want in his orbit.
Well, he lied about all his business dealings with Donald Trump primarily, did he not? Those are the things that sent him to jail. Come back, more devils. Don't sleep on us.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show, a big Monday edition. Trump at trial. Trump also had a bond hearing today, Dom. And I know you were quite excited to think it could be revoked. And they might start seizing cash and assets immediately. But my understanding is Trump got a win of sorts at this bond hearing. Engoron has accepted the $175 million bond. There's only one stipulation. Currently, the Charles Schwab account that apparently holds the $175 million has joint control between this security interest company,
Knight Specialty Insurance Company,
and Donald Trump. And the only difference going into court and coming out of court is Trump no longer has access to the cash.
Also, that it must remain in cash. It cannot be in some other semi-liquid fund like mutual funds or so forth. It has to remain in cash and Trump cannot touch it.
They can't swap out assets, Dom, for illiquid assets like Trump Tower.
Listen, let me put up Trump Tower. At the end of the day, if the DA's satisfied with it, then I'm satisfied with it. Okay. You know, let's move along. Let's see how the appeal goes, Trump. But I'll rely on Tish James in that regard.
Well, good. I'm glad you have confidence in her. Dom, should we go back to the trial?
Yeah, I want to get back, you know, to the Trump trial and what happened today. So opening statements today, the state had about 40 minutes. The defense had, I believe, like 25.
They chose to take 25. That's as much as they sought.
And apparently a little more lackadaisical, a little more off the cuff for the defense than it was for the state. But when Trump came out, and this is something that I thought was also rather odd. Number one, the fact that he's claiming that they did not take the $400,000 legal fees as a tax deduction. Lots of things to go there, but we'll see how that plays out. ABC News reporting, moments after his criminal trial adjourned for the day, Trump exited the courtroom and told reporters that his payment to his former attorney, Michael Cohen, were appropriately labeled as legal expenses. Here's what Trump said. Actually, nobody's been able to say that what you're supposed to call it. If the lawyer puts in a bill or an invoice and you pay the bill, that's a very small little line. It's not like you could tell a life story. They marked it down for legal defense. That's what I got indicted over. It's a little line. Like, is he actually claiming that they're using like ledgers? Like full on, you know, ledgers, like the books, like how they used to do before, I don't know, QuickBooks and computers. You know what I'm saying? Is that what he's saying?
Well, when you're keeping wrote it down. Two sets of books, Dom, you got to keep them straight.
Right.
Don't want that evidence being out there.
So with Pecker, David Pecker being the lead witness today, again, I think that's a great call. This is a guy who coordinated this effort, you know, with multiple people to buy the silence and the stories of those that would have derogatory stories about the soon-to-be president who, while he was gearing up to run. It was very specific. It was an effort. That's what it was. Now, apparently, the defense is saying, no, trying to, you know, influence an election, that's not a crime. That's called democracy. That's what, and I'm not clear that that's a great position to be advocating for. I mean, we have all sorts of restrictions on what you can do with elections.
My understanding is David Pecker has been given amnesty for his testimony, Dom.
Right.
And there is a prosecutorial agreement that has been put in place with the AMI Corporation. So they've already resolved their legal consequence. Pecker apparently walked by Trump's defendant stand and said hi today.
Hey, Donald. Apparently Donald was sitting there watching Pecker's testimony, and Pecker will be returning tomorrow for more testimony. But Trump was sitting there, you know, skull on his face and his arms folded like a little baby. Here's what his attorney said, quote, "There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy. They put something sinister on this idea as if it was a crime. President Trump fought back like he always does and like he's entitled to do to protect his family, his reputation, and his brand. That is not a crime."
What if it's true and you're trying to bury it? Is it a crime then? And then you claim it as legal expense, but you don't take it as a tax deduction, and you tell your attorney to lie about it, and he goes to prison for like a year and a half. I mean, that sort of changes. There's a little more nuance there than the
there's a lot of nuance tells there. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of parties. There's lots of different examples of cash being thrown around, all in the endeavor for the scheme to protect Donald Trump and these stories getting out there prior to the 2016 election.
Dom, Trump also made a pleading of his Truthy social followers, you know, dozens of them, to come down to the courthouse and peacefully protest.
Oh, we'll be wild?
Well, he didn't say that precisely, but a columnist says MAGA is already bored with Trump's hush money case. There's no hell to speak of at the courthouse, Dom. There has not been. My understanding, about 50 have been turning out each day for the Trump trial. Donald Trump's campaign avowal that his hush money trial would mean all hell breaks loose failed to pass as news spread of the former president's sleepy demeanor inside the courtroom. A new analysis notes Molly Jong Fast Monday published for Vanity Fair an essay on the lack of MAGA fury at the steps of 100 Center Street Courthouse hosting the historic criminal trial of the former president. There's no hell to speak of. Trump supporters didn't storm the courthouse like they did the Capitol back in January of 21. In fact, the want to make sure I get this right. In fact, the only turnout Trump got was a smattering of his usual toadies, including Andrew Giuliani. That's Rudy's kid.
Oh, Rudy's kid.
Now, Dom, right. John Fass recalled instead seeing a dull and dusty sight of the first week of the proceedings, featuring a grumpy 77-year-old man who was exhausted from hours of sitting on a hard chair in a cold room, falling asleep to potential jurors talking about their off-negative feelings about him. The columnist argues fatigue may have already set in on the MAGA ilk. We don't know what the next 4 days of Trump's trial will hold, but if he and his supporters are already feeling depleted, imagine how they'll feel in June. Yeah, because it could take that long to get a ruling, Dom. Trump stands accused of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. I call that voter deception, Dom. Anyways, it's out there. No hell to pay. No hell. Where's the hell?
Former President Donald Trump appeared to doze off for a third day in just over a week at his criminal hush money trial, according to Forbes. Forbes reporting this.
You sure that's not for Friday, though? Because I haven't found reporting today. I wanted to independently verify that.
Yes, this is reported from today, okay, updated excellent. At 3 o'clock Central Time today. Yes, happened again today. And I don't have it in front of me. This is a Forbes article. I did read it in a different source that apparently dude was not nodding off, and his attorney had to give him one of these, you know, hey, a little elbow nudge as he slid him over a document. Come on, man. Hey, don't worry about it. It's only your freedom on the line.
My understanding is he was completely awake when David Pecker was given the testimony about him this morning, Don. Mm-hmm.
Just 1 hour into trial proceedings on Monday morning, the former president appeared to be struggling to stay awake, according to New York Times reporter Suzanne Craig, who noted the former president was jolted awake by his attorney, Todd Blanche. NBC News reported that Trump's eyes are shut, quote unquote, just before the beginning of the opening arguments in the trial, where Trump faces 34 felony counts. We know this. Reporters in the courtroom noted Trump appeared to doze off during the final day of jury selection, and we know he fell asleep twice on the first day. So this is the third day, but at least the fourth time that the former president has fallen asleep during his criminal trial.
I can't even nod off on an airplane, Dom.
Oh, I can absolutely sleep anywhere, anytime.
Could you sleep in court as the criminal defendant?
Sure. I was up all night, man. It's cold. Waiting for people to do something. I can see that happening.
Cold.
It's cold in that courtroom.
Well, that wouldn't make me sleep. That'd make me more awake. If I want to be more awake, I turn the air conditioner up to make it colder. Cold. Wakefulness, don't you think?
I mean, I guess.
You go sleep in a snowbank? What are you, a polar bear?
Not to Trump. I mean, I got to reiterate again, when we saw him last week, and I would note, I saw him come out on the last day, he looked tired. He looked ragged. He looked like he was trying to find the words. He looked like a tired 77-year-old dude who's what, according to Wisconsin Republican senatorial candidate Eric Hovde, would probably not be in a mind to even vote.
But only if he lived in a nursing home.
Oh, okay. Only then?
Trump lives at a overpriced resort, assessed at $18 million, but apparently worth up to a billion.
Yes, yes. Many billions of dollars.
That must be reassuring. He must sleep the sleep of angels, Dom. I wonder if he's got My Pillows there at Mar-a-Lago. I hear a clear conscience and a My Pillow makes for a restful night's sleep, Dom.
So like a half day today? Was this the Jewish holiday and someone had a dentist appointment or something?
Today
was the dentist
appointment. Tomorrow, Dom, they start the day with a gag order hearing. Tomorrow's not going to start so well for Trump because Trump has already broken the gag order perhaps up to 10 times or more.
I think, again, today he brought up Michael Cohen outside the courthouse.
Well, he may have. That would be at least an 11th instance. So tomorrow, the jury is expected between 11 and 2. I believe those are Eastern time. But Trump and his team, they're expected in court at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central.
Oh, man, that's early for Trump.
Well, that's when they've been making him come to court, Dom. But
I wonder why he's sleepy. Man, he's just used to sleeping in, man. You don't go to bed till 3 in the morning because you're up rage tweeting at the world. You know, man needs his beauty sleep. And then he got to do the hair. And honestly, man, look, can I just talk about a little manscaping for a moment? I mean, I don't want to be like rude about it, but man, those eyebrows, they're getting a lot of control, Trump. I mean, it looks like a disheveled, crazy old man. Those things are coming out like half an inch off his forehead.
I don't have that problem. Don't have the crazy.
Yeah, you don't really have any eyebrows, do you? Yeah.
I got some eyebrows.
It's all that plucking from when you were back in college, huh? Keep them nice and thin.
Yeah. I pencil them in, Dom. I pencil them in.
Nowadays. No, man, I got to cut mine up. Otherwise, I'll end up looking. I'm a hairy guy. What can I say?
So this is something you're speaking of personal knowledge.
And I am, yes. And less so now because I've been taking care of myself here for all these many years. But no, Trump's eyebrows are out of hand, man.
So
real.
What does one do? Does one get it waxed or?
I mean, you could. I mean, it depends on like what you're going for. But
the number two eyebrow clipper?
He's got a length thing going on right off the bat. I mean, I don't know like how shapely they are. I see is the bush of these things over his eyes, man. And I mean, you could just take a brush and just trim the edges off, man. Just cut them down, dude. No wonder why he's falling asleep, man. His eyebrows are so heavy, they're making his eyes close. I'm just saying, as a sexy man, it's just the things I observe. It's true.
Well, you are the resident metrosexual, so I'll yes, take your word for it in this regard. 844-967-2789. Would Trump be a more effective defendant if he trimmed back those bushy eyebrows.
I think so. And even and the hair thing. So how long does this take? So he's got to go through. I mean, how what time Six does Trump got to get in? No. Trump getting ready in the morning. How long does it take for Trump to get out of bed and, you know, whatever his schedule is, whatever he does, what time do you think he's got to get up in the morning to get the courthouse by, you know, 9:30, 8 o'clock?
Well, New York traffic could be a bitch, Tom. So figure 30 minutes in commute, even if you're in Manhattan. But here's the question I have. Is he staying at Trump Tower or down at Mar-a-Lago? Is he flying in each and every day?
No, he's got to be staying in town. He's not commuting.
I mean, that had at least, you know, an hour and a half. Plus, going through TSA? Oh, that'd be a bitch. Does Trump have to go through TSA?
He should.
When he gets on his private flight, do they...
When he gets on the Con Air, does he have to go through TSA? I think he will.
Come back with us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, day one. The Trump trial of the century has begun. Dom's bushy eyebrow... Never tired, always fired up, ready to go. Come back, be fired up. Dial the numbers 844-96-PARTY.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Yo, be a VIP. Call us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I have been monitoring the text lines. They're often busy, and I like to see what you're thinking, folks. WMDX texter says, very low energy. Also claims that Trump is rage-truthing. What else do we got here? Here's one. So all the sleepy Joe Biden was just more projection, says Jim from Appleton. Here's a texter at the, well, where'd they text in? I don't know. Someone from the 608 text in. There's a great line from the movie, The Usual Suspects, where the detective says, you can always tell the guilty man because he's the one that goes to sleep when he's caught. One more, Drake from Green Bay says, I don't fart, I Trump. There have been accusations that the former president has been flatulent in court. You know, an example set by Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, really? I had not heard that. Well, I guess, you know, you fall asleep, you relax a little bit. You know, maybe a little one squeaks out, man, last night's tacos. I mean, you don't know. I can understand that.
Apparently, Trump accused someone else of farting in court. It was me. It was you.
It was the dog. Oh, come on, man.
It's saying what I'm hearing from credible sources is that Donald Trump is actually farting in the courtroom. I'm hearing it from actual sources. Rep. Jared Huffman says on the Twitter, Dom.
Wow. Wow.
Michael Cohen. Don.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I remember, wasn't Rudy Giuliani? He was sitting next to one of the attorneys that and was letting him go.
Jen Ellis, wasn't it?
Yeah, poor lady.
You could see it in her face. Newsweek,
yeah, the pink guy.
Newsweek reporting: Michael Cohen mocks Donald Trump smell rumors. Oh, he who smelt it dealt it. Everyone knows that one, Dom.
I mean, it goes back to the playground, everyone.
Donald Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, oh, pardon me here, I don't need the update, has responded to rumors the Republican is passing wind throughout his hush money trial. Not an isolated event, Dom. This isn't a one-off. This is an often event.
Oh, man.
Now, Cohen, who has emerged as a vocal Trump critic, is set to testify in the high-profile trial, which will determine whether the former president, you know, falsified business records over payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. I feel like I don't even need to read that one anymore.
No, I think we've kind of crossed that.
As the trial continued, a rumor has emerged about Trump's courtroom etiquette. Midas Touch founder Ben Mazzales cited credible sources who informed him that Trump was farting in court and causing a smell. I'm only reporting what's being reported, folks. It's a putrid odor in the courtroom, he said. Trump's lawyers were repulsed by the scent and the smell.
Oh, come on. Wait, what? What's the source on this?
George Conway, who has campaigned against Trump, said on Twitter that he had also heard similar rumors. Now, Newsweek, my source, was unable to verify these claims, and the fact checker Snopes has rated them as unproven.
Unproven.
You can't prove Trump's been farting in court. Yeah. Newsweek has contacted a representative for Trump by email to comment on this story.
It's very important.
But writing on the Twitter, Cohen wrote, not looking forward to testifying in the at real Donald Trump district attorney New York criminal trial for several reasons. Hashtag GasX. As the trial continues, Trump has also been accused of falling asleep in court, leading him to be mocked by social media. According to a Newsweek reporter who's in the courtroom, the second day of the trial on Tuesday, Trump was last week reprimanded by the bench after he was gesturing to a potential juror. Judge Juan Merchan said Trump was clearly audible while doing so. From which orifice, Your Honor? Anyways, Trump allegedly.
Allegedly.
Has been stuck in the courtroom. Irritable bowel syndrome?
IBS.
844-967.
You know, knowing Trump, he'll start like private labeling some IBS pills. If you got IBS, do what the president does.
Did you see that one of the big truthy social investors, Russian ties, set up a website selling the penis pills, Tom, of questionable sourcing, let's just say. That's just what one wants to buy is, you know, penis Russian pills on
erectile dysfunction pills
on Truthy Social. Yeah. These are the same ones that Donald Trump uses. 844-967-2789. Original Claire, welcome back. What do you got for us, Claire?
Hey, OC.
Hi, Devils. Oh, that was so funny. I heard that people are photoshopping gas masks on photos of the lawyers.
Those aren't Photoshop, Claire.
Those aren't pillows.
Actually, I was calling with some metrosexual advice for Crudy.
Oh, do tell.
Okay, since you're follically challenged, which you readily admit, correct?
Sure, I'm bald. Bald and beautiful.
Watch out for your ears and your nostrils.
What's that mean?
Well,
you mean like clip the hair from my
start sprouting? Yeah, they start sprouting hairs from their ears and nostrils. Right.
Well,
profusely.
Here's what I'll say, Claire. My nose hair is Rapunzel, but I have no ear hair. I am clean eared. It's a family trait, apparently.
Is that thanks for the call, Claire? That's great advice. If you don't have the hair on your head, you think you just don't have it. But I don't know if that's nose hair or a mustache, Curdy. What's happening there?
Porn stash.
Yeah,
come okay, back. Empty. A happier, happy hour. A big Monday edition. Stick around.